Alrighty then. Hello there. Good evening. This is North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore along with Tim Kearns. Got my wires all crossed here, but whatever. We'll figure it out at a break.
Literally and figuratively. Yes.
In many ways. On many levels. Alright. So this is a very busy day here as we end up next to last week in June. School is out. State tournament is underway. We got a whole bunch of scores to look at. We can take a look at the pairings and so on by division and all that good stuff. But a whole lot of stuff happening. We're going to talk with, let me turn that down while you're doing that. We're going to talk with the Gloucester High School baseball coach who just a few minutes ago, finished up their game. They won in the opening round. We've got, as I said, several scores here and some big goings on. And I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. We'll also be talking later on to Mike Grenier about Celtics happenings, to Gary Larrabee about national, local, and regional golf stuff. But we're going to get into it sort of right away here. We don't have a guest in this first half hour, but we do have a lot of information to get out there. And hopefully we'll be talking with some coaches. I've got calls out to talk with coaches of games that are just finishing up now. And, man, it's like 3,000. Look, I've got three pages of games here.
Incredible.
It is incredible.
You are incredible.
Well, yeah, well, okay. All right, so what have you learned?
They don't pay you the big bucks.
Hmm?
I said, it's no wonder they don't pay you the big bucks.
Well, you know what it is when you're in a teacher's salary, brother. So what have you learned today?
What have I learned? Let's see. Last night I checked the golf scores, and I was very, very excited to realize that I had actually picked the winner last week's show with Gary, as he thought, who asked me who I thought might win, and I said, well, I think Mr. Ron may make a comeback and use his disqualification because of the COVID to launch himself to success, and on Sunday he did just that. He tamed the course out there at Torrey Pines and walks away with the U.S. Open. So congratulations to Mr. Ron for making me look good.
And your basic Fantastic Four fantastic finish as well.
Yes.
He did amazing at the end there. And who was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, really.
Oosthuizen and the other guy sort of fell off the cliff there.
Yeah, it's amazing when you can focus and put your game together and other guys around it. They don't necessarily choke because you're playing well. It's just that they don't make the shots. And it's like any other sport. It's for a variety of reasons. But golf is the one where it's really one-on-one. You are the master of your own fate.
All right, so we'll talk with Gary about that a little later on. I want to get to the high school scoreboard as we have it up to this point. A lot of games are finished by now.
You need some background music.
Why?
Because when you do the scoreboard, you should have some background music. You know? Mike Lynch always had background music.
So did Al Needham. He used to have Marshall music on the rah-rah, the Ohio State, da-da-da-da. And just
do you want me to da-da-da-da-da?
No, I don't. Please, God, no. All right, we're looking for Chelmsford at St. John's Prep in high school baseball state tournament Division I North first round. Looking for that score. That should be just about over now, and Kearns is going to be checking scoreboard as we go along here. Scores that we do have from Division II North first round: Newburyport wins in baseball 5-2 over Pawtucket. Marblehead 10-2 winners over Belmont. I expect Coach Giardi will be checking in, if not now, then probably later on, and we could probably talk to him tomorrow. Also in baseball, how about this one? Danvers shutting out Wakefield 1-0. Coach Secondini getting the Falcons really roaring in the second half of the season. And we will be chatting with Rory Gentile. I have a quick interview with him that I did a little while ago, right after the game, as Gloucester shut out Triton 4-0. That's in the first round. Now, other games that we're looking for scores on. Again, Peabody at Lynn English is a later score tonight in Division 1. In Division 2, Woburn is at Masconomet. That game should be over now. Beverly at North Andover might still be going on in Division 2. And Salem at Shawsheen starts at 7.
Are you looking for lacrosse scores?
Not yet. We'll get there. Well, yeah. Go ahead. What do you got?
Okay. Halftime. Well, it's halftime.
No, I won't. Go ahead.
Newburyport 13-5 over the North Reading.
Well, I think I have a final in that one.
Oh, okay.
All right. So let me get down here. Keep going. In Division III, back in baseball, Fenwick is at Brighton. Division IV, Salem Academy at Lowell Catholic. Matinon at Rockport later tonight. In softball, we have one score in so far. No, we actually have two, if I can find the other one, or more. In softball, in Division One, Peabody shutting out Haverhill 6-0. And as we were talking, I don't know if you heard us, but Abby Betancourt, perfect game. And I do have a call out to Coach Palmieri, Tony Palmieri. Peabody 6, Haverhill 0, Abby Betancourt, a perfect game. And Beverly is at Methuen at 7. In Division Two, softball. Saugus played at Danvers. We don't have a score. All right, here we go. Woburn, Mass. Let's see who this is. Hello, Rick Moore.
Hey, Rick. Sean Secondini calling you back.
Coach, welcome back. We are on the air as we speak. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks a lot. It was a great game.
Well, tell me about it, man. I mean, 1-0. No, before we do that, you guys, man, in the second half here, the stretch run, have had a great second half. So tell me a little bit about how that's gone.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll start with just talking about today's win and,
okay.
You know, the star of the game, the pitcher senior, Tyler Robinson. And it was just so great watching him out there, you know, just being in that moment, you know, especially as a senior who, you know, just like every senior right now in the world who's had so much stuff taken away from them that they've had no control over, you know, and it's been a tough season for him as well. But it was just so great seeing him out there today, throwing his best stuff and winning a huge game for us. And especially, you know, having Briggio, another senior catcher, behind him. The two of them have, you know, they've worked with each other since they were little kids. And just to have him out there today was awesome. They, you know, Tyler had great command of his pitches, throwing a ton of strikes, and the defense behind him was outstanding. I don't think we made one error today. And anytime, you know, you have a pitcher throwing strikes and you're making the plays behind him, you're going to be in a great position to win. So this was, you know, since I've been here, definitely, I would say, one of the best games that I've been a part of. And it was just a ton of fun, and I'm really happy for the seniors. And as for, you know, how we were playing the second half, it's weird because I felt like we were a bit of a streaky team, which I try to not be, right? You don't want to kind of have that label as a streaky team. But, you know, when we got it all going and, you know, we're, you know, executing on all three phases of baseball, you know, timely hitting, good pitching, and defense behind it, you know, we're a tough team to beat. And there are games when we can execute all three. And I tell them, you know, guys, when we execute all three phases, that we're, you know, we're going to win majority of the games. When we execute two out of three, not many, one out of three, right? And then no out of three, we're, you know, you're not going to win any ball games. But, you know, and then to end the season, you know, we actually, in my opinion, had our two worst games, you know, versus Salem and Beverly. And going into the Salem game, which was last Monday, you know, we were tied for the lead in the conference with Gloucester. So if we were to win out, we would have split the conference with them. So we're going into Salem Monday after a great win on Sunday versus Masco. And, you know, we played probably one of our worst games of the season, and we followed it up with another one against Beverly. So, you know, those two tough games to end the season going into the tournament, we could have easily packed it in, but we had a really emotional practice last Wednesday. And the guys have responded. Now you got everyone on the team buying in, and it's a lot of fun to be around.
Absolutely, man. This must have been a great game. I hope there are a lot of people there today.
Yeah, it was a really good crowd in Wakefield. And, you know, for myself growing up in Stoneham, you know, I played at this field so many times, and it was good to be back. It's a really good atmosphere over there, a ton of fans. And, you know, hats off to them. You know, Kevin Canty does a great job with that program, and they're a really good team.
Coach, any heart-pounding moments there with your pitcher or how you got your run?
Well, in a 1-0 game, the heart's pounding pretty much the whole time.
Yeah.
But I certainly think of is, you know, they had a man on first, nobody out, and they laid down a bunt. And Tyler did a great job hopping off the mound, and Briggio gives him the two call. And Tyler delivers a perfect strike to second base to get the guy out at second.
Wow.
You know, and we went over it yesterday in practice, and that's what I love so much about it. And my words were, if we can make this play, if we can get this lead runner out, it's a game-changing play. And it just feels great as a coach when they execute it. You know, it was awesome. It was gutsy, and they went for it. I'd much rather live with us going for it as opposed to, you know, not so much. So it was great.
That's tremendous, Coach. And again, how'd you get your run?
So we got it all with two outs, right? So we had two outs. Tyler O'Neill, sophomore, up at the plate. I think he had two strikes on him, and all he did was throw his bat on an outside fastball. got down the line with his speed. He was able to get on second base. And then it came up to Briggio. Again, he's had some of the biggest hits of the year for us. And there was no other guy I'd rather up. He, you know, worked the count, tough at bat, and lined one through, and Tyler O'Neill was able to score on a close play at home.
That's tremendous. All right, Coach, when and where do you play next?
We have Marblehead on Wednesday.
Oh, my. Okay. All right, Sean, I'll talk to you later, but congratulations. Enjoy this one, and it's got to be great for those seniors, as you say.
Absolutely, absolutely. And congrats to all the seniors out there as well that are playing through. This is great.
Absolutely. That's cool. That's cool. All right, Coach, talk to you later. Appreciate it.
All right, Rick. Thanks. Always a pleasure. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir. That is Sean Secondini, who is the Danvers High School baseball coach, and they pulled one out today in a rather dramatic fashion, as we say. What was that one? 1-0? I'm so confused right now. You got my scoreboard there. That was 6-0, I believe. No, 1-0. That one was 1-0.
You got it down, 1-0.
1-0. All right, so... okay, let's see here. Why don't we take a quick break? We'll come back and we'll check in with Gloucester baseball coach Rory Gentile, as they were winners today by a score of, where'd it go? What do you got? Where's my baseball?
I didn't.
Oh, 4-0 by, over Triton. No. I should have printed up two of these. So we'll come back and we'll finish up the scoreboard. We got about halfway through it, and we got a lot more scores to run through in this first half hour on North Shore Sports Night. So thanks for being with us. We'll take a break, come right back, and get right back into it with Rory Gentile, who's the Gloucester High School baseball coach.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, talking now with Gloucester High School baseball coach Rory Gentile and the Gloucester Fishermen winners today over Triton, if I have that right, 4-0. Is that right, Coach?
Yep. Triton is a very well-coached team, extremely solid. They did most things right. It's just that we did a couple more things than they did today, but that was a really good team, really good opponent.
Rory, going into this the playoff, the tournament, you really kind of had one bad game there, I think, about a week ago, which was kind of weird. Get all the kinks out of the system. Was that kind of the thing? What happened on that day, and how did you guys respond to that?
I don't know if we've got anything out of the system because we haven't played in over 2 weeks. So the way the schedule worked out, we had a rainout against Winthrop, a game we never made up. So it's been over 2 weeks. I had no idea what to expect today, but I didn't want to even bring it up because I didn't want it to be an excuse. But we did. We were slow. We were sluggish through the first three innings, all around, offensively, defensively, but Zach Abbott kept us in it on the mound, until we finally were able to break through, in the third or fourth, whatever inning that was. We went up 2-0, I think. But if it wasn't for him, that game might have got ugly.
All right, what about a key moment or two, either offense, defense, or pitching? Because you mentioned Zach, and man, he's a tough guy. He hangs in there.
Yeah, so there was a few things. So I don't know if there was bases loaded. It might have been bases loaded, but Zach Oliver, our third baseman, made a great play on his backhand and stepped on the bag and threw across the diamond to first base for an inning-ending double play that kept one inning from getting huge. They didn't score at all, so that was obviously a massive play. Shifted momentum for sure, but then there was one at bat. We were really struggling. They had a good pitcher. And Costanzo worked the at bat very well, took a couple close pitches and ended up singling, and that sort of gave us a little momentum offensively. Zach Oliver then hit a double off the fence, followed by an Abbott single where the two runs scored. So those things definitely were huge moments in the game.
All right, I know you probably don't know who the opponent is, but what's next, Roy? When would the next game be?
We play. We're, Saugus upset Boston Latin Academy. So we play Saugus at home on Wednesday, 4 p.m.
All right. I know you're busy, man. Thank you so much for taking the time. Good luck. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Rick.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Roy Gentile, who is the Gloucester High School baseball coach. They were winners today in the opening round of the MIAA tournament in baseball by beating Triton by a score of 4-0.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, so Gloucester winning in the opening round of the tournament in baseball, and Danvers winning. We talked with both coaches, and Tim Kearns is here to update and continue our scoreboard.
Well, Division Two, we had an update with Masco over Woburn, 5-4 in 9 innings, big two-out double, bringing in the winning run. We don't have any Division Three scores yet.
I got some over here, but go ahead. That's fine.
Okay.
So when I punch in, this is a fly by the seat of your pants here, right? This is what they used to do when.
If I'm flying by the seat of the pants, I'm not getting.
Well,
this
is what they did, you know, when the astronauts were back. Anyway, yeah. Austin Prep 5-0 over Arlington Catholic. This is Division III North, and this is according to the Boston Globe. We appreciate that. Why did it go down to the Central here? They update and lose the whole thing here. Okay, here we go. Back to the North Division I. Andover 5, Newton North 0. In Division 2, it is Masco 5, Woburn 4. As Tim just mentioned, we already said Danvers over Wakefield 1-0. We talked with Coach Secondini of Danvers. Other scores, Reading over Winchester 7-1. Concord Carlisle 9, Arlington 0. Here's a local score for us, St. Mary's 4, and Greater Lowell 2. Again, this is in Division 2 North. In Division 3, it's Austin Prep 5 at Arlington Catholic 0, North Reading 10, Wilmington 0, Stoneham 3, Amesbury 0, Pentucket losing to Newburyport. Newburyport 5, Pentucket 2. I think we do have that one. Bishop Fenwick, Coach. Bishop Fenwick 13, Brighton 0. Gloucester 4-0. We have that one. We talked with Gloucester Coach Tony Gentile. And the other Division 3 score in the North, Watertown 2, Northeast 0. In Division 4, do you have Winthrop Georgetown?
I saw that Winthrop won, and they won rather handily.
8-4 over Georgetown, yep.
Okay, let me...
Lowell Catholic, 17, Salem Academy 1.
Wow. Yeah. Salem Academy had a pretty decent year.
Okay, so that takes care of all the Division North stuff in baseball. Alright, so... where do we go from here? What do you have next? Do you get lacrosse scores or softball scores?
Well, we have the PPD Haverhill 6-0 score. Again, just another amazing feat by Abby Betancourt.
Perfect game.
Yeah. Can't answer that right now. Okay. I'll have to send him a message. let's see. We have the Newburyport, the Gloucester over Newburyport 7-2. Let's see. And boys lacrosse. Is that 8-5 Billy Ricker over Marblehead?
Yes.
Okay, just trying to read your English.
Yep.
Okay, Wakefield over Danvers 14-6 in girls lacrosse. Lowell over Burlington 15-11. That's just down the 128 South score. In the Division II North final. Triton.
Well, I don't know if it's the finals. I think it's the quarterfinals or opening round, either
right, way. Right. Triton lost lost Ipswich 15-2, and that are the scores that you have recorded on your master.
All right, and we'll continue in back to Oh, Lordy. Boys lacrosse. Okay, let's go back to that. In Division One North, it was... Oh, they just update. When they update, the whole thing goes bluey. So let's go back down to lacrosse here, if I can scroll down. Where I'm at the... I'm actually at the Boston Globe website right now. And they're really cool with getting scores. All right, so in lacrosse, in boys lacrosse, let's see if we can find the North here somewhere. Division One, Chelmsford 14, Andover 5. North Andover 15, Medford 0. Lincoln Sudbury 9, Acton Boxborough 5. That's Division One North. Boys lacrosse. In Division Two, Billerica 8, Marblehead 5, as Tim just mentioned. Melrose 14, Winchester 6. In Division Three, Newburyport 14, St. Mary's 5. Wow. And that takes care of lacrosse. Girls lacrosse. Let's find Division One North. It was, how about this one, Coach? Check this one out. Girls lacrosse, Division One, Masco 18, Billerica 17.
Wow.
Yeah. Reading 20, Winchester 8, Lowell over Burlington 15-11. We don't have a score on the Danvers game or the Peabody game yet. Boston Latin 16, Marblehead 8. That's a surprise to me. So the girls losing there. Chelmsford 15, Woburn 5. In Division Two North of girls lacrosse, Newburyport 22, Reading 5. Ipswich 15, Triton 2. Pentucket 20, Shawshin 7. And how about this one? Manchester Essex 19, Bishop Fenwick 5.
Wow.
This is, again, Division Two North girls lacrosse. Softball. Are we ready to go to softball? We had some softball.
I'm ready to
scores.
Follow you wherever.
All right, let's see if we can figure this out here. And forgive me for stuttering and stammering here as we finish this first half hour of high school scoreboard. North Reading 5, Marblehead 2. This is Division 2 North softball.
Wait a minute, what's that again? Marblehead? I'm sorry, I missed it.
Yeah, I should go back up to Division 1 first. Sorry about that. Peabody 6, Haverhill 0. We had that one. That's the perfect game by Abby Betancourt. Andover 3, Westford 2. This is girls. This is softball, Division 1. Lincoln Sudbury 8, Newton North 4. Billerica 4, Woburn 3. All right, now.
Beverly and Methuen are at 7 o'clock, so we won't have to score with them.
In Division 2, we already know about Gloucester over Newburyport, 7-2. Tewksbury 13, Essex Tech 1. North Reading 5, Marblehead 2. Ooh. Whittier, 14, Triton, 0. And again, back to the Danvers score. Danvers over Saugus, 6-0. All right, softball, Division 3 North. Austin Prep, oh my, 16, Rockport, 0. Northeast, 12, Ipswich, 2. Lowell Catholic, 20, over Boston English. And there goes the update of the scoreboard. I lost everything. Let's bring it back down here. Stand by. How you doing, Coach? You up there?
I'm with you.
All right, we just
need the Salem Academy at Boston Latin School.
15-1, Latin Academy. 15-1, Latin Academy. Winthrop 14, Linfield 1. Do we have that one? That's not in there.
No, but I'd like to.
Winthrop 14, Winthrop 1. This is MI.
Wait, Winthrop 14.
Winthrop 14, yes. Linfield. I'm sorry. Winthrop 14, Linfield 1. I think I said Linthrop. I invented a new town.
There you go.
14-1 Winthrop winners in Division 3 softball. And Greater Lowell 7, Malden Catholic 5. And I think that's it, Coach.
Well, okay.
Let's see if there's anything else up here that makes any sense to any of us.
Or has any meaning.
Yeah. No, I don't have any other scores in tennis or all the other stuff. There's nothing here. Wow. Okay. Well, that's a pretty complete scoreboard, I would say.
Yeah.
Any comments on that? I mean, certainly Betten. Now, Abby, she's a freshman, I believe.
God, can you imagine her in 3 years?
No, three more years. Not in 3 years, but four, three more years.
God, I know. Yeah.
Oh, Lordy, mercy. Well,
that's where you're just going to, you know.
Happy Father's Day to Coach Mark Betancourt.
You know, teams will be playing Peabody, and they'll just, you know, throw the gloves out on the field and go, okay, thanks.
You know, that's right.
Either that or stay in the bus, drive by, wait,
yeah,
and keep
thank
on
you.
Going.
No. They're going to get out there and say, I got up to bat against Abby Betancourt, and I fouled one off.
I know.
I said that.
Can you imagine how strong she is going to be? I mean, oh my God.
Sherm Anderton was a fastball pitcher, and he was a pro in local. He's a local legend, right? And then he as he got older, he came in and played a semi-fast pitch league here in Gloucester. And I batted against Sherm, and I hit one. It was actually, I think he hit my wrist is what he did, but it went way out back to him and hit him in the shin. So I got the first base, and I tell people I got a base hit off of Sherm Anderton. But it's one of those things when you know you're up against the best, you want to play against the best, you want to get up against there. But what a wonderful season for Coach Palmieri and for Abby Betancourt. That's fabulous. And again, congratulations to Mark Betancourt. You know Coach Betancourt and how much he puts into the city of Peabody with kids. And not just kids, but into the entire city. He gives everything.
Oh, yeah, well, the entire family has given to the city of Peabody over the years, and just the heritage of the Betancourt family, the legacy of the Betancourt family through the generations. You know, the first Moynihan Lumber male athlete of the year was the Peabody mayor, Teddy Betancourt. So, I mean, you know, it goes back, and I remember Davey Betancourt at Fran Eagle's clinic, and his dad was with him every single Sunday, and I got up against John Tudor and struck out.
Okay, all right.
He was at North Shore Community College, believe it or not,
mm-hmm.
And he played there for 2 years, and then he went south. There's a lot of us that get up against John Tudor and went south very quickly. But I mean, he threw a hook to me that it started high outside and came right across the plate. And I was like, yeah,
I went
right.
to North Shore for 1 year and I played baseball, and we played the Harvard JVs at Harvard Stadium 1 year. And needless to say, I couldn't hit. I was the 25th guy on a 24-man roster, but I got to go in on defense the last 3 or 4 innings in every game. And there was this kid from Harvard, a JV guy. He must have lofted that ball, I don't know, 500 feet anyway. And at that time, the baseball stadium was up against the football stadium. And the left field just goes on and on and on. And I caught the ball. It just went, and yeah. And in any major league park, that's a home run. But
And the coach told you, Rick, if you don't keep that, keep right on running.
Well, that's it. That's it. No, coach was very kind. He says, I'll get you into the games when I can.
Yeah.
He did. Okay. Anyway, tremendous, tremendous opening to the MIAA spring season. And a couple of months ago, we didn't know if this was actually going to happen. So congratulations to all the athletes, all the parents, all the coaches, and all the educators.
Well, you know, especially for the kids who, you know, who missed out last year, especially, you know, the seniors that missed last spring. But for the kids to come back this year, mm-hmm. The kids who, you know, still stay committed to the spring sports, and, you know, even though they were facing limitations and restrictions into this spring, they still made it work, and now the hard work for many of these teams is paying off. And it's a whole different format for baseball, and I believe it for softball too. You can opt in to the playoffs. There was
right.
nobody left out. Everybody could opt in or opt out.
And
there are people who have feelings about that, and
yeah.
I do too.
Well, we'll talk about that
okay.
later. All right, but let's get moving here, and we'll come back with Gary Larrabee. You're listening to North Shore Sports Night on MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. We'll be right back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Okay, we're back now with Gary Larrabee, an exciting U.S. Open, and I'm guessing we're going to start there, but Gary's got a lot of golf information, as he always does. Welcome, Gary.
Well, thank you, Rick and Tim. No, that's it. In fact, thanks for that lead-in, but let's get some very significant local golf news out of the way quickly. Then we can go to the fantastic story that John Rahm wrote yesterday. Number one, Ryan Daly from Salem Country Club in Bentley University, the captain of the Bentley University golf team that has coached, shot an even par 72 today at Vespa Country Club to qualify for the Mass Amateur coming up at Braeburn July 12th through 16. He was 3 over par after 4 holes and played 3 under par the rest of the way. Great going for Ryan, whose dad, of course, is the reigning club champion 4 or 5 years in a row at Salem, and, of course, the head golf coach at Salem State. But congratulations to Ryan. Also to Alec Hand from Bass Rocks, who qualified at Wellesley last week, shooting a 75. He'll also be at Braeburn. Also talking about Bass Rocks real quickly, guys, because this is their 125th year anniversary over at Bass Rocks. They hosted the U.S. Senior Women's Open qualifier last Tuesday, and 2 players made the grade. 2 amateurs, Danielle Lee from Concord and Renaissance, shot 75. And Sue Curtin of Westwood and Boston Golf Club shot 76. She won a playoff over Pam Johnson of Hingham and Thorny Lee. So they will be heading to the, I think, to Fairfield, Connecticut, to Brooklawn Country Club for the only the 3rd annual U.S. Senior Women's Open. So that's very good news all around. And now we can move on.
All right, Gary, before going to the Open, I have to ask you one question. At the end of the tournament, and Rahm had won, was your first thought, wow, I can't believe Tim actually picked a winner?
I doubt that.
You and I both did, because I have a pool with 5 players, and John Rahm was one of my 5 players, so congratulations, Tim.
Thank you, Gary. You know how long I've been waiting.
You smelled some very special karma like I did. And it would be no better story written unless Phil Mickelson would have won at 51 to be the another time being the oldest major winner and to have completed the Grand Slam. The only better story than John Rahm would have been Phil Mickelson. But John Rahm, after being disqualified, basically, 2 weeks ago at the Memorial out of Jack Nicklaus's course, leading by 6 shots after 3 rounds and having to withdraw because, of course, he had tested positive for COVID-19. He couldn't finish the tournament and win that win. That would probably cost him over $1 million. But he made up for all of it this weekend, and of course, he made all kinds of history. One of the very few U.S. Open winners, guys, to bury the last 2 holes to win the Open, the first Spaniard to win them. U.S. Open, because Seve Ballesteros and Sergio Garcia have never done it. And he also, guys, I may have mentioned before, I'm amazed by his game. He's got a wonderful game, but he has the fastest swing.
Wow.
Among the 10 top players in the world right now. But there seems to be no stopping John Rahm these days, Tim.
Well, you know, the amazing thing to me, Gary, was I said last week, is he going to channel the disappointment of the disqualification because of the COVID testing and use it as a motivation going into this week and a comeback? And boy, did he ever. I mean, it was just, you know, a level of consistent play. He kept himself near the top, and then when he got there, he just took off with it.
And he loves that golf course. That was his first, I believe, PGA Tour win, came at Torrey Pines a few years ago. And here he goes. And, of course, as we've seen so many times in the past, not just one player, but every single player in contention starting the back nine seemed to have some form of a collapse or a goof-up down the stretch, but not John Rahm.
Mm-hmm.
He also proposed to his wife on that golf course, I saw.
That's right. He may have conceived his baby, too, there. Who the heck knows?
Oh, jeez.
This is a family show, Gary.
Oh, man.
That's certainly a family theme.
Well, apparently. Father's Day was yesterday. Yeah, okay.
I mean, the other amazing thing, I'm sure Tim was going to bring this up quickly, the other amazing part of that story yesterday afternoon, though, besides Rahm's phenomenal play to shoot 67, was the collapse of Bryson DeChambeau, who was actually leading at some point. I forget how many holes, maybe just on the 10th or 11th hole in the back nine. I think we were all thinking, this guy's in a fantastic role. He's going to become the first repeat champion of the U.S. Open since, I'm going to say, Curtis Strange in 88 and 89, Tim?
Wow.
Anybody else repeated back-to-back since?
But I can't remember anybody who
think,
did.
I don't think Kept, you know, Kept is one, two reasons. I don't think he went one back-to-back. Maybe he did. I stand corrected, maybe. But anyways, great story for John Rahm. Nice, nice guy. I don't like his beard. I don't like his white pants. But I like everything else about him.
Oh, yeah. You know, but you know, going back to DeChambeau for a second, I don't know. Is he quickly becoming like public enemy number one on the PGA Tour?
He doesn't mind. You know, that whatever's going on, he eats it up. He plays it very coolly. And the fact remains, guys, he's truly one of the top five players in the world right now. We were just all in shock, and especially the guys doing the reporting on TV were in shock. He would have such an extraordinary collapse the back nine. Nonetheless, now we can begin the real countdown, guys, to the 122nd U.S. Open coming up in 362 days down the street at the Country Club.
All right. When's the next when's the British, whatever they call it, the Open? When is that?
The Open Championship is coming up. I think it's at St. George's. I think it's in mid-July. In fact, it's about a month away, I believe.
All right. Rick. Where is St. George's, Gary?
I believe that's in England. I believe that's an English course, not a Scottish course.
Oh, okay. All right. So
if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
So that's coming up. One last thing to mention, if I can get my head together, from yesterday. I'm drawing a blank, Tim. Help me for a moment. we'll come back to it.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. What about, we saw your columns in the paper, and you've been talking about it for a couple of weeks. We've got it in there. What about this week? You got one coming up?
Well, before I even answer that question, now I know what I was going to talk about.
Okay.
The USGA announced today that the U.S. Open ticket sale for next year's Open at Brookline, which, of course, is all online these days, is that they're already sold out.
Oh. Wow.
So will you have credentials for that,
like
Gary?
2 days to sell out a zillion opportunities, different, very expensive tickets, all different combinations. But needless to say, there'll be plenty of people there watching next year. Hopefully be back to normal. They had a pretty good-sized galleries in San Diego, but next year we should have the normal size galleries, which will be huge, and hopefully there will be an admonishment every day next week as people come into the property there in Chestnut Hill, Brookline, whatever you want to call it, that everyone must be on their best behavior. Any non-conforming behavior there'll be no questions asked. They'll shoot first and ask questions later, and you'll be moved from the property forever.
Good.
Oh, my.
Good. I am really tired of the yahoos that get on the golf course nowadays and love to yell and scream.
Well, it's always about in the hole, in the hole, in the hole, and we'll see that we heard plenty of it over the weekend, but great to see a great finish and have so many players I mean, there were 10 or 12 plays with really a realistic chance to win yesterday, and only one player came to the fore, and that's oftentimes how Nicklaus won his four U.S. Opens. But great show, and almost as, probably even better than we had the Masters.
Excellent, excellent. All right, Gary, tease the column if you got one coming up.
Tease the column. I don't have a thought yet, but one more quick piece of news I may have shared with you, last week, but Tedesco's second-year head pro, Jake Leach, has been relieved of his duties after succeeding Bob Green, who was the head pro for 38 years, and that's all I can say about it.
Oh, my. All right. Well, stay tuned. Gary, unbelievable stuff as usual. Thank you so much. Stay cool, and we'll be back next Monday. Good Lord willing.
Look forward to it, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Oh, my goodness. Gary Larrabee, sports historian, golf writer. It just whoosh, like a machine gun, all this stuff. Ah. All right, we'll take a break, and then we'll check in with Mike Grenier. And I'm not sure where we're going to start, but I'm going to ask him where we're going to start, because there's a lot to discuss here on North Shore Sports Night. We'll be back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
All right, Mike Grenier is with us now, of course, another sports journalist, primarily known for the Salem News, but involved in so many other publications as well. And, Mike, first of all, welcome. I hope you had a great Father's Day weekend.
Yeah, we did. I hope you guys did, too. Yeah,
absolutely.
We're kind of elderly fathers now. if our kids still want to get us a couple of presents here and there, we...
There you go. Okay, I don't use the word elderly.
Yeah,
when
senior.
I don't even use the word senior. But my daughter, well, my daughter laughs when I use this word, mature.
Mature, you know, I love that. That's a euphemism. For
yeah, really.
Seniors.
There you go.
No,
okay.
The term when you describe someone as mature,
yes,
is someone who still hasn't grown up yet.
That well,
you know what?
That's it.
All three of us would qualify.
We fit. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about.
All three of us would qualify
for all of those terms we just mentioned, by the way.
I mean, if we see a particularly good sporting event that we're at, we act a little silly, you know, that's maturity. That's maturity being on display.
Hey, listen,
you know?
Let me ask you guys, before we get to the main topic here, does your wife, and this is a plural to you and Tim,
yeah,
ever yell at you when you're watching a sporting event and say, will you calm down or stop yelling? I do that, especially with Patriots games.
That still happens to me.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You know, it could happen at college events, you know, Patriots, Celtics, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Well, I've actually had to do it to my wife.
Oh.
During Patriot games. I mean, she's a lunatic.
She gets into it, huh?
And I'm like, if you don't stop, I'm leaving the room.
There you
I'm
go.
Trying to leave the
there you
room.
Go.
Well, I love that.
Yeah. And my wife has actually left the room, so yeah.
Yes.
Oh, man.
That's actually great
she
to hear.
She gets upset. All right, Mike, here we go.
Sure.
Now, we're going to do, I don't know what order you want to take things in and what Tim's agenda is. I have two things I'm looking at from you. Number one is your overall view on the NBA playoffs, because you
yep.
had some pretty informative tweets in the last day or two about Pat Connaughton and his
yep.
performance with the Bucks, and they overcame everything and won that series, I believe.
Yeah.
And then I want to come back and talk about the fact that the Celtics are making news, and I want to get your
right.
your opinion on that. So where would you like to start?
Yeah, well, both of those things, because they're both timely topics, right, Tim? I think you'd agree. And you know, if you look at it like, what, 48 hours ago or 72 hours ago, most basketball observers in the country would have been projecting, you know, the Brooklyn Nets in the final against the top-seeded Philadelphia 76ers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of people thought going into Game 7. And what happens the other night, Milwaukee Bucks go into Brooklyn, Barclays Center, and they win somehow they pull out a game in overtime on a night when Kevin Durant scored 48 points. I mean, it was an incredible game in many respects. You don't see this anymore. You remember how we talked about Bill Russell and those guys playing 48 minutes, mm-hmm. the total package? Well, obviously Durant did that the other night, played 53 minutes. James Harden, just coming back from injury, played 53 minutes. And for the, you know, and for the Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis played 50 minutes. So you have a lot of guys playing high minutes. And if I can be make this quick note about Pat Connaughton in that game, he was the only guy off the bench for either team who scored any points.
Wow. That's amazing.
You know, Mike, I was watching bits and pieces of the game, and when I was toward the end of the game, in the fourth quarter, I'm going, you know, why isn't Connaughton on the court? Because, I mean, you know, to me, his plays were such a calm presence. He
yep.
doesn't seem to get rattled out there despite all these huge names that surround him on the court and literally surround him because he's not the biggest guy out there. And as the time was ticking down to the end of the game, I'm going, I'm looking and going, where's Connaughton? He's not out there. And yep. then I turn away from it and I come back to it. And who gets the big rebound at the end of the game?
Right.
Pat, he's on the floor,
yep.
and he makes a move, he grabs the rebound, and then dishes it off, and I'm thinking, okay, that's why you need this kid on the court.
Well, yeah, that was a key play, Tim.
Yes.
I recall it, 2 minutes and 45 seconds left. The Bucks are down 101-99. Giannis goes in for a dunk, ties the game, gets fouled, and of course he's a poor free throw shooter, so he misses the foul shot, but Connaughton jumped over James Harden,
yep.
hipped it back outside, and Drew Holiday ended up hitting a three. So that was a 5-point possession in which the Bucks were down 101-99. They ended up going ahead 104-101. And I don't think they trailed the rest of the way.
Yep.
And they went into the overtime, and P.J. Tucker fouled out. I give him a lot of credit for guarding Durant, who's like 6 inches taller. And then they put Connaughton in there for the last 2 minutes of the overtime, and he was guarding Joe Harris. I think Joe Harris had the best three-point shooting percentage in the entire league this season. And Connaughton was on him throughout the playoffs. And Joe Harris did not have good playoffs. Connaughton plays a lot of intelligence. And he hit 3 of 5 three-pointers in that game 7. Really gave him a huge lift off the bench. So, and I just noticed looking at the overall playoff stats for the entire playoffs so far, Connaughton is percentage-wise the second best three-point shooter on the Milwaukee Bucks. Not naturally, he doesn't shoot as many, he doesn't get as many minutes. But percentage-wise, only Chris Middleton is hitting threes at a higher percentage for the Milwaukee Bucks as they head to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, you know, for the naysayers about Kevin Durant, all I had to do was watch his last two baskets at the end of regulation.
Oh, yeah.
That driving layup where he's literally at the outside edge of the basket and he just reaches in and he flicks it off the backboard for 2 points that brought him 2 points closer, within 2 points. And then that last jumper from the top of the key where he just has his toes
right.
on the three-point line.
Right.
And if he didn't have that there, the game would have been over.
That's right.
And they would have won by one.
That's right. They would have won by one.
But both shots were unconscious. I mean,
yep.
you know, he just extended his arm out to the right, flipped the ball up for the layup. That wasn't a layup.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
He's unbelievable. But, of course, Tim, you know, by the same token, because he played 53 minutes, and I'm just speculating, he did not hit a shot in overtime. And his team only had 2 points in the overtime. And I'm wondering if fatigue set in just enough for his shot to be off in the overtime period, because he did play 53 minutes, which is a magnificent performance.
Yeah.
He scored 48 points, but he went like 0 for 4 or 0 for 5 in the overtime period, and it might have been fatigue setting in a little bit because he had to play hard on both offense and defense throughout the entire game.
Right. Yeah. You know, maybe they and Philly can get together and have a pickup game down at the local playground.
Rick, you know, I know you're always interested in what happens in Philadelphia, and I mean, almost as shocking as, maybe
yep.
more shocking, I think, than the Milwaukee Bucks advancing with a Game 7 win on the road, was the Atlanta Hawks going into Philadelphia on a Game 7 situation, and they won for the third time on the road in Philly in a 7-game series, upsetting, you know, the mighty top-seeded Philadelphia 76ers. That was a stunning outcome. It was just unbelievable that the 76ers could lose that game, and now there's a lot of heat on Ben Simmons because of how poorly he played throughout that series.
Yeah, you know, the amazing thing about the Hawks, and I think they're a team that everybody has talked about during the season, how potentially good they are. These guys obviously haven't gotten the notice of how bad they are.
Exactly.
You know, because they just play. Who are you? Oh, we're Philadelphia. Okay, let's play.
Yeah, well, you know, the funny thing is, Tim, as you know, they changed coaches in midstream. They were not excelling early in the season. They fired their coach, and they brought in Nate McMillan, who had been with the Indiana Pacers in previous incarnation. And they took off from the time that Nate McMillan became the coach. And they won last night, Game 7, despite Trae Young shooting 5 for 23.
Hey, did McMillan play with the Sixers?
I'm sorry?
Did McMillan play with the Sixers?
I don't think so.
No?
No.
Boy, did he do a phenomenal job of coaching that young Atlanta team to go on the road into Philly and to win three games in a seven-game series in Philadelphia. It was stunning. I mean, that was unbelievable. And that crowd in Philadelphia last night was really, really shocked. I mean, they expected to go on and be playing the Bucks. And now, of course, the Bucks benefit in the sense that they have home court advantage in the Eastern Conference Final.
Yeah.
All right. I have to switch gears now, Mike.
Celtics.
You called the shots. You said Kemba was on the way out.
Yeah.
So enlighten us.
Well, I mean, Kemba, you know, if you read between the lines here over the weekend, Blake Griffin, who, of course, signed with the Clippers, when he was, you know, basically he got his release. He could have signed with anyone, you know, halfway through the season. He ended up signing with obviously Brooklyn, thinking they had a chance to win the championship. However, he admitted that he considered the Boston Celtics, but supposedly he heard from a Celtics player that the relationship between Kemba Walker and Brad Stevens was poisonous. Okay? And so he did not want to come to the Celtics. That's the story that's been making the rounds on the internet the last two or three days now. Who knows how true that is? No one's going to get quoted and saying, yeah, you know, which Celtics player is going to admit that he said that, you know, that with Kemba Walker and Brad Stevens didn't get along. But obviously, something was going on between Kemba Walker and Brad Stevens, because Brad Stevens, in his first official act as director of basketball operations, his first official act was to get rid of Kemba.
You know,
what did he get for him, Tim? What do you think? I mean, they got an aging, Horford, who has been, he had a very good first tour with the Celtics, but he was deactivated by one of the worst teams in basketball. Didn't play the final 28 games with Oklahoma City. He's coming back to the Celtics, and I guess Celtics fans have to hope that this kid Moses Brown, a 7'2" kid, and Tim, I know you've been championing getting a big man. Well, who knows? Is this the big man? Right now, I think he's great insurance in case Robert Williams continues to have injury problems.
Well, when I heard the deal, I said to a buddy of mine, they have to play the kid. You know, you've got Horford coming back, Ben injured, huge contract. I think the young kid is Moses Brown is the guy they wanted, and they had to take Horford and his contract,
right,
to get him.
Yeah, but the difference in the contract, right? I agree with you. It's still a bad contract.
Oh.
$53 million for 2 years for a guy who didn't really play much the last couple of years. Okay. However, Kemba's contract had $73 million still coming to him. So therefore, you know, if you look at it optimistically, the Celtics gained $20 million in salary cap room. You know what I mean? So in that respect, they gained. But I agree with you. I think the centerpiece of the trade is Moses Brown, who, of course, in his regular season against the Celtics had like 23 points and 21 rebounds. So obviously that made a deep impression on Brad Stevens, the fact that Moses Brown, a young kid who was undrafted out of UCLA, but he's a legitimate 7'2" center, a very athletic one, who just doesn't have much experience. So he may take off and become a terrific player, or he may just level off and not become a player at all.
Mike.
But I think he's a great kid to take on because he is so young, and Robert Williams, who is also a terrific prospect and very young, he hasn't shown that he can stay on the court. He's missed a lot of games, and maybe Moses Brown can overtake him as a starter or be a reliable backup in case Robert Williams can play a lot of games.
When Kyrie was here, I was begging Brad Stevens to do something bold, to do something brassy, to do something to show you got the general's stars on your shoulders.
Right.
This seems like the brassiest thing he's done.
That is, it's true. It is, yeah, exactly. A lot of people, yeah, actually, I got a lot of texts after the Celtics season ended. What the Celtics, how do they get rid of that contract, $73 million? What team will take on that contract? But it shows you that other teams are willing to take on a bad contract when they want to get rid of a bad contract of their own. And they're taking a chance. Oklahoma City needs a point guard. They figure Kemba still has a couple of good years left in him. He is like basically just turning 31. So if he gets healthy in the offseason, who knows? He can give him a couple of good seasons. But for the Celtics, I think they have to take this chance and go with a big kid, 7'2", who's like 20, 21 years old, and just really has a lot of untapped potential. And he played a magnificent game against the Celtics. That particular night, Moses Brown against the Celtics looked like an all-star player.
Yeah. I'm my first phone call, if I'm Brad Stevens, is I go back into the file and I get Bill Walton's phone number.
Sure.
And I get, Bill, come here. I have a job for you.
Yep.
And he's 7'2".
Yep.
I want you to teach him how to play your way.
Oh, yeah, that would be anybody who's fundamentally sound that the Celtics know they should call him in and say, work with this kid, you know?
Yeah. Because obviously, yeah. like I said, he's raw. What he did, you know, in college obviously wasn't enough to impress people to draft him.
Right.
You know, but obviously enough skills that eventually got
made the league, yeah.
Made the team,
yep.
You know, and he also had overall good scoring and rebound averages for a guy that didn't get a lot of time.
Right, I think it was something like 8.9 points and 8.6 rebounds, and that's pretty good for a backup player. I mean, you know, Tristan Thompson styled a lot of games for the Celtics, and those are kind of his numbers, you know. So now it's interesting. The Celtics might actually have three big guys if they share the playing time. We're talking about Tristan Thompson probably coming back. You know, Moses Brown, the new kid, and Robert Williams, who projects as the number one starter. You know,
well, again, Williams is not that tall. He plays taller. You know, he plays like a Leon Poe, who was maybe 6'8" if you stretched him out before the game. But he was just immense during that title run in 08, and unfortunately he got hurt.
Right.
I want a big man. You know, I want him sitting at my dining room table when I'm eating, because I'm gonna put some pounds on him.
Oh yeah,
I want Bill Walton schooling him.
Yeah,
you know, on how to play inside the paint.
And you know, Walton, he's crazy enough to want to do it. Except that Moses Brown would have to wear a Grateful Dead T-shirt.
Well, I'll buy it.
We can get him for him. We can get him.
Well, now, Rick, who do the Celtics get as coach now? Because the names are still out there. Chauncey Billups is the latest one to be like the hot front runner. And he might be fine, but Rick Carlisle, interestingly enough,
he noticed.
The Dallas Mavericks.
Yep.
He's 61 years old, which is not terrible. I mean, Popovich is over 70 and still get the attention of the players. So Rick Carlisle is a hard-nosed, disciplinarian type guy.
To me,
he would be a really good fit in Boston. He played for the Celtics. And as my wife told me, he used to play the piano, just like Casey Jones.
Yeah, I think, right. I noticed that when he left. I said, oh man, I wonder if he's coming to the Celtics. But the other thing,
obviously he's available. I think he got frustrated with Mark Cuban, the owner in Dallas.
Well, he got frustrated with one of the players.
Mark Cuban wants his team to win. Unfortunately, he doesn't let his general manager or his coach do the job fully because he gets involved in every decision, okay?
Well, that's the thing that bothered me about what you said about a Celtic player saying that Kemba and Stevens don't get along. So what?
Yeah.
So what? You know, so I don't know. But Carlisle, that's intriguing.
You know, the other name that's been thrown out there is Mike D'Antonio.
True. He's available. He's been around different teams. He had the Knicks. He had the Phoenix Suns. I don't think he'd be on the short list for the Celtics, but I think Chauncey Billups is. I think that Sam Cassell would be. I think Jason Kidd might be out of the picture, but Rick Carlisle has to be on the short list. I would imagine that Brad Stevens will want to do a couple of interviews with him, and I'd be very, very disappointed. I think I'd be surprise if Rick Carlisle didn't express a lot of interest in the Celtics job. He knows the team's history. He knows the team's legacy. You know, he played with Larry Bird in that group as a backup. He knows what the Boston Garden fans are like. To me, he'd be almost an ideal fit for the Boston Celtics.
Well, we'll see. Mike, we got to go. We'll see you next week.
Absolutely. I will share this one quick message that Connaughton sent me after Game 7. And he said to me, you know, rewatching the game and knowing the outcome is much easier on the heart. And playing, which is a very, very great comment from him. You could tell he's enjoying himself. He's enjoying his teammates. And we can't, you know, if you're a North Shore person that loves basketball, you can't help but root for a kid like that in the conference finals. And how about this other kid, Terrence Mann from the Clippers, who scored 39 points in Game 6 from Lowell, Massachusetts.
Yep.
Okay? And he's been averaging 5 points per game, and he scores 39 points in the most important game of his life.
You got to tell Pat Connaughton, on behalf of us fans here on the North Shore, that you relay those comments that when it's appropriate, and it means everything to us, knowing that this kid comes from, you know, a local roots, and he still remembers, you know, the kinds of things he says make him a real person.
Oh yeah, Nick Giannino, who covers the Celtics regularly for the Salem News Now, also received a text from Connaughton, just sort of joking around and talking about Game 7. It's great. He doesn't forget his roots. He doesn't forget his St. John's Prep friends and teachers and all that stuff. And it's phenomenal.
It is. It is. And so are you, my man. So have a good week.
But yeah, all right. Now let's hope our wives don't yell at us for the fault next week.
All right. All right, Mike. You know, thanks so much, man. This was fun.
Take care.
Talk to you later.
Bye, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
All right.
Bye-bye.
That's Mike Greiner's, formerly of the Salem News, but of course now a sports journalist, independent writer, and so on. And another one that's just a blast. So much information and insight. I mean, sharing that with Pat Connaughton. Who else has that, you know?
You know, when I watch replays of the Pat Super Bowls, I still get nervous.
I watched the Atlanta game, the Super Bowl game, and I didn't realize it's 28-3 with 3 minutes left in the third quarter before they scored. I thought it was much earlier than that.
Well.
I mean, they were down inside the 10, but still 3 minutes to go in the third quarter, and they're down 28-3. I said, oh, yeah, I do. And I watch it over and over again. All right, Coach, any final thoughts here, young man?
Well, I hope the Celtics are able to make some kind of management decision soon so they can start putting a game plan in place for these new players. I think the Red Sox have to get their pitching straightened out because there's a level of inconsistency there that could be extremely detrimental as we get into June, further into June and July and August, because those are the days of the August swoon.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to wait and see. And there's been very little said about the Bruins.
Nothing.
Over the last couple of weeks.
Very quiet.
There's been nothing going on.
Yep.
So it's is there something in the works in terms of...
Well, you can't say much right now with the playoffs still going on, but it's been noticeably, notoriously quiet.
Crickets.
Yes, crickets.
Crickets.
All right, Coach, thanks for manning the scoreboard tonight. Appreciate it.
Yes.
We'll get those things posted for everybody, and thank you for joining us. A good night for North Shore Sports as well here, and for all the high school kids who get to participate once again. Thank you for joining us. On behalf of Tim Kearns and Bill Newell and our producer and engineer, Bill Proposca, I'm Rick Moore, wishing you a very pleasant good day, good evening, good night. This is MSONewsSports.com. We're out.